Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yatha Nabhasi Meghao Gho Renurva Parthivo Nile Evram Drashtari Drishyatvam Aropitam Abodibhi Yatha Nabhasi Meghao Gho Renurva Parthivo Renurva Parthivo Nile Evam Drashtari Drishyatvam Aropitam Abodibhi.
Translation: clouds and dust are carried by the air, but less intelligent persons say that the sky is cloudy and the air is dirty. Similarly, they also implant material bodily conceptions on the spirit self. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is further confirmed herein that with our material eyes and senses, we cannot see the Lord, who is all spirit. We cannot even detect the spiritual spark which exists within the material body of the living being. We look to the outward covering of the body or subtle mind of the living being, but we cannot see the spiritual spark within the body. So, we have to accept the living being's presence by the presence of his gross body. Similarly, those who want to see the Lord with their present material eyes or with the mundane senses are advised to meditate on the gigantic external feature called the Virat Rupa, for instance. When a particular gentleman gets in his car, which can be seen very easily, we identify the car with the man within the car. When the president goes out in his particular car, we say, "There's the president." For the time being, we identify the car with the president. Similarly, less intelligent men who want to see God immediately without necessary qualification are shown first the gigantic material cosmos as the form of the Lord, although the Lord is within and without. The clouds in the sky and the blue of the sky are better appreciated in this connection, although the bluish tint of the sky and the sky itself are different. We conceive of the color of the sky as blue. But that is the general conception of for the layman only. So before just speaking about the message of the verse and purport, let's do a little review. This whole chapter 3 so far has been about the incarnations, the avatars of the Lord. Because, as we mentioned, that's one of the questions that the sages ask Sutta, so he's giving an answer, listing at some, not detailed, because the detail will come later, is expanded later, but here is incarnations of the Lord. And the statement previously was, these are all transcendental. And so that we can understand what transcendental is, what it means, next, moving on to Virat Rupa. which is not transcendental. It's explicitly not in the list of the incarnations of the Lord. So what's going on is a distinction, as we said yesterday, discriminating between transcendental form and material form. It will help us to understand, so what we're getting here is, it will help us to understand how the body is not the self, and simultaneously how the Virat Rupa is not a spiritual form. The form of the universe is not the form of the Lord. Although certainly there's a universe, and certainly there's a body. So, to enter into that subject matter, Vyasadeva is making a metaphor. Yatha. Whenever in Sanskrit you see this yatha, and commonly there's tata, like this, so that. This is a metaphor. It's metaphors are useful. In fact, they're necessary for understanding something that's unknown by comparing it to something that's known. Yata, tata. Like this, so like that. And Prabhupada has explained that a metaphor is useful or good insofar as there are common elements, because there are obviously some that are not common. Something that's over there is not the same thing as something over here. But where there's common elements, to the degree there's common elements, the metaphor is useful. And for a transcendentalist, for a devotee, a Vaishnav, it's one of the qualities of a Vaishnav is they're poetic. They know how to use metaphor and simile and alankar, the various alliterations, the various ornaments of poetry or descriptions of things, because you must, like this, so that. So, we're given one of those, a metaphor, yata, and the known thing is clouds in the sky and dust in the sky. So what is sky? It's one of there are five elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether or akash, sky. So if you think of it in that way, what is first go to within the vastness of this. Krishna uses this example in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Within the vastness of the sky, there's the grosser elements. So say there's an airplane flying in the sky or a bird flying in the sky. That's largely earth and water and some fire. And the airy element in birds is more prominent also, so they can fly more easily. So it's those elements are within the sky. Or so then within there's a bird or an airplane, but there's also clouds in the sky. And as the clouds or the air, the wind, is moving about in the sky is not moved by the movements of the wind, because the sky is more subtle. The wind is blowing, and the sky isn't blowing. The wind is blowing in the sky. And within the wind, or air, there may be some vapor, some water. And the clouds are going through the sky. But the sky is more subtle. So neither the wind, nor the vapor, nor the bird, nor the airplane, they're not affecting the sky at all. Or say it the other way, the sky is not affected by them. The sky is more subtle. So the conventional, or here as Prabhupada is saying, the layman's conception is the sky is cloudy. Or the sky is dirty, or there's a dust. It's more specifically, the earth element is being carried by the wind. We say, you know, the sky is dusty or dirty. Smog. I was visiting in Beijing, going down the street. It was middle of the day, riding in a car. And I thought, what's going on? It's almost like dusk happens at midday. It wasn't dusk happens at midday, it was just smog. Really bad smog. Bad. Midday, because big factories and polluting the air and smog. It's awful. But the sky isn't smog. The sky is subtle. But looks like something else. Anyway. Or fog. Those of you from spent some time in Delhi, you know all about fog in the January, December, January time. Because during the day it's very warm, in fact hot. But at night it's very cold. So all the moisture in the air gathers around the earth. And until the sun comes up, and at a certain point, that the fog just goes poof when the direct sunlight comes and the earth becomes warm again. The vapor just vaporizes. But until then, it's fog. You can't see. Very thick at times. But it's not the air is foggy or the sky is foggy. So conventionally we say something, but the reality is the sky is like air. Neither is odorless and colorless and transparent. But then there's the conventional. So using that, or the sky is blue. But what's the sky is blue? Scientists will have their explanation. And the spiritualists will have their explanation, but it's not the sky is blue. The sky is transparent. It appears to our eyes to be blue. Similarly, now we'll go to the soul and the supreme soul. The conventional is we don't see the spirit soul. We see the covering of the spirit soul. Through the covering, we can understand there's a presence of the soul. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a body. There'd just be a lump of matter. We can infer the presence of the soul by the presence of the body, but we can't see the soul. So without knowledge, without spiritual education and training, one just sees the body as the self. So I am a black man, or I'm Chinese, or I'm Indian, or, you know, so I'm Indian and you're Chinese and we have some conflict with one another, or I'm Hindu and you're Muslim and so we have conflict with one another. Just seeing on the platform of the body. That's the consequence. Makes barriers. It makes groupism based upon the body. My group, your group. It's illusion. Because of forgetfulness of the real identity of the soul as a spiritual spark, part of the Supreme. Now we'll go to the Supreme Soul. We don't have the unqualified persons do not have the capacity to see spiritual form. We certainly can't see spiritual form with material instruments. And so those who wish to see with material instruments, the Virat Rupa is there. The discussion yesterday was about, if this is so difficult to understand, why is it for neophytes? It's not that they'll understand what's going on, but, you know, in detail, but they will have some facility because of the Virat Rupa to be able to see a form of the Lord. But the education of the Bhagavatam is saying that form, the Virat Rupa form, is not a spiritual form, and therefore is not the or one of the forms of the Lord in one sense. Because everything comes from God. In that sense, it is inseparable from God, or a form of God. But in another sense, not a spiritual Satchitananda form of the Lord. It's not the form of the Lord. If you look up in the dictionary, the word pantheism, I'm giving your boys here some vocabulary expanding lessons. Remember from yesterday? Pessimism and optimism. Remember that one? Pessimism, I take a ball and throw it up in the air and just keeps going. Is that likely to happen? Not very optimistic. I'm pessimistic about that one. Or I reach out, there's the moon in the sky, and I reach out and I can touch the moon in the sky. Pessimism, that's not going to happen. But I'm optimistic that just as the sun rose at whatever it rose this morning, tomorrow I'm optimistic it's going to rise. It might not. At some point, when universal annihilation takes place, the sun won't rise. But I'm optimistic that, at least according to Scripture, it's going to rise tomorrow morning. It's not time for cosmic annihilation yet. So I'm optimistic. Likely to happen. So optimism, pessimism. Another word that you learned was Sankhya. Do you remember what Sankhya means? Sankhya. Lord Kapila, they've taught Sankhya. Sankhya means discriminating between matter and spirit. Remember? So that's what's happening here. Discriminating between matter and spirit. Right? Yes, Maharaj. Sankhya. Sankhya. It's a form of yoga. Sankhya yoga. Discriminating between matter and spirit. And identifying the self on the spirit side and detaching oneself from the material side, the material conception. So that's, we're getting a similar understanding through Sankhya here, that the real it's an illusory conception to think of the body of the self, and it's an illusory conception to think of the form of the universe to be God. So here's another vocabulary word for today. Pantheism. Write it down. Pantheism. P-A-N. T-H-E. ISM. Pantheism. You've heard of theism. Theism is conception of God. Theism. And pantheism, look it up in a dictionary and you'll find it several things. Commonly, Hinduism, from Western perspective, is pantheism. Pantheism is thought of in the West primarily as there are many gods, or polytheism, there are many gods. this one, that one, many gods. Polytheism. Pantheism is commonly used in that way also. But a more precise meaning is pantheism is seeing God within nature. Pantheism. So you see a beautiful sunset, or you go for, you know, a retreat or a camping or a hiking, you know, outing, and you're in nature. You leave the city and you go into nature and you're just with nature, and there's a sense of awe of the presence of God, of the beautiful mountain scenes and so on and so on and so on. It's just, it's amazing what, you know, the presence of God. One can feel the presence of God. And so some people have that conception that God is nature. So that's a common notion of what pantheism is also. God is nature. That's something like, I am this body. God is nature. And they may honor or even literally worship some aspect of nature. And in different cultures of the world, there is worship of a tree or a particular type of bird or a feather of a bird or something sacred about something within nature, a stream or a waterfalls or a mountain. And then there's all kinds of lore or stories about, you know, God and this mountain and that stream and that river and something, something, something. So there's a mythology that, not history, but mythology that goes with this and that and the other thing with nature. And they connect with God in that way. And it's called pantheism. So the Bhagavatam here is separating pantheism from divinity. Divinity and divine service to the divinity. By clarifying this, so this is now the intelligence discriminating this from that, or Sankhya, spirit from matter. So there's a material conception of God, Virat Rupa. God is the universe. And here's the form of God as the universe, Virat Rupa. Now, as mentioned yesterday, that's, why is that there? That's there, second canto, chapter 1, to assist those that have no conception of God, what to speak of a personal conception of God. It assists them in developing a personal conception of God, because they can see the trees are like the hairs on his body, the clouds are like the hair on his head, so and so forth. The hills are his stacks of bones, and the rivers are his veins, and so on. To see within nature, to identify with God. God is nature. God is within nature, and nature is a manifestation of God. To help a person in a neophyte position develop a personal conception of God as a person. Here in this purport, Prabhupada is saying, for those who wish to see God, they're encouraged to see or contemplate the Virat Rupa in the beginning, if they're not qualified. But then through thinking, just thinking of things, dravya, substance, objects, matter, in terms of God, it purifies. Just to think of God, it purifies and elevates, combined with sound vibration, that is, association of a learned person, learned in the scripture, then that can be transformed into the spiritual conception rather than the material conception of God. Spiritual conception of Paramatma is within every atom of matter and within the heart of every living being. And meditate upon the spiritual form of God within all forms of matter and within each body, within each soul. And there's a system for that. There's a system for both. And then there's a system for going beyond. So this is just a step of discriminating matter from spirit and helping the reader develop a, now that these incarnations of the Lord have been expressed, reassuring or reconfirming that these are spiritual forms distinct from material forms. Don't think of them as material forms, because they're not. Here's what a material form is, and distinct is a spiritual form. And to help us understand that, a metaphor is being presented, just like yata nabhasi meghagnao meghago. It's as within the vastness of the sky, there may be big clouds, or there may be renu, there may be dust. So we attribute the quality of the sky to the clouds or the dust. But it's not so. And similarly, the seer, and to assist one with seeing, one who has abhudhihi, one who is not trained in spiritual wisdom, sees that's the sky. It's the sky is cloudy and the sky is dusty or blue. As that mistake is made, so the conclusion here is the soul and the Supreme Soul are not the covering of, rather the converse. The covering indicates the presence of that which you can't see. The body indicates the presence of the soul. Say it the other way. If there wasn't a soul, we wouldn't have bodies. When the soul is gone, matter disintegrates. Now it's integrated because of the presence of the soul. And the particular body that we have has to do with the subtle body within and the desires within the subtle body and the contamination or the conditioning of the soul. But the soul is the animating factor. Without the animating factor, the body disintegrates. And similarly, the universe. There's a form of the universe, Virat Rupa. But that's not the form of God any more than the body is the self. It indicates there's a supreme. Without the supreme, there's not a universe. But that's not the supreme. And these other forms that Sutta Goswami is saying, that we've been speaking about, they're not material forms. They're fully conscious. They're Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Different. So hearing, just wrap up, hearing of the forms of transcendence, just hearing of them helps the consciousness, because these forms, the name and the activities and the forms are all spiritual. Just by hearing them, it elevates one's consciousness higher, more to an awakened state, like taking a piece of, like a spark that has gone some distance from a fire and bringing it again in the vicinity of the fire, close to the fire, the glowing capacity of the spark becomes stronger. Similarly, our consciousness becomes more awakened. But now here's some defining terms that says don't make the mistake of thinking that this covering of matter is the form of God, or the form of God is just a material form. make that distinction properly. We've got a chorus of pigeons out there. It's pigeon time. Go ahead.
As you are sharing that for a neophyte, it makes it easy for first introduce this pantheistic view, and then later on he can be developed to a deeper degree of realization. But my question is, there are two questions. One is, will it not be difficult for him to later on comprehend Krishna's two-handed form? Like, it's a misconception which is being introduced, a kind of misconception. Like Krishna says, avajananti mam muda manushim tanumashritam. Will it not carry on when he hears properly about Krishna? And the other thing is, anyway he has to invest faith in somebody. So why not, like Srila Prabhupada introduced Krishna in the West? So is it not a direct approach to directly speak about the 200 form? So these two things I was just considering.
Yes, and the second one is maybe. If one becomes a pantheist, it may become difficult to become a monotheist. But better, if someone isn't ready to become a monotheist, better they become a pantheist than an atheist. It's difficult for an atheist to become a monotheist, but it's easier for a pantheist to become a monotheist. So, if you have wet wood, you can first attempt to make the wet wood dry wood before putting in the fire, or you can just put it in the fire. And it'll make a lot of smoke when you put it right in the fire. But it'll become dry, and then it can ignite. So yes, it's difficult. The possibility is there. But for those who are stubborn and wish to not, you know, because they're in the material world, they don't wish to, or say it positively, they wish to not surrender to Krishna. So the facility is given. And yes, there's a risk. They may be attached to that pantheistic conception or polytheistic conception or some other conception. We find that, don't we? So then the other question is, I gave the answer, maybe. That is certainly the way that Prabhupada proceeded was he didn't introduce a pantheistic conception and then, you know, the meditation upon supersoul conception and then Krishna suddenly appears. He just introduced Krishna. That's the direct approach. With faith in the process given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do so, through the chanting of the holy name, especially. So, get in the elevator and go to the top floor rather than going up the stairways. That's the approach. But it's in the Bhagavatam because it's an aspect of. It will help us understand the totality, you know, the big picture, by understanding where do these other things fit in with the absolute truth. It's a feature of the absolute truth. So where does it fit? Here's where it fits. So as a preaching strategy, certainly the follower